Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 23rd day of June. I'm your host, Paul White, and I am grateful you are with me midweek. This is a Wednesday, and that means that this is the day that we drop the Tuesday night Bible study on you. So if you like the video version, paulwhiteministries.com will have that. Our Facebook page, Paul White Ministries, will have that. Our YouTube channel, PWM, will have that. That's the full video. We have the scriptures on the screen behind me. We're in our little theater here in Flowery Branch. We are teaching 1 John, and we are in the second chapter. Check that out. If you'd like audio only, wherever you're listening to this podcast, about midday, mid-afternoon, usually on Wednesdays, we post the audio. It takes us a little while to get everything together and get everything posted. And also deeperdaily.com has all of our audio material. I encourage you to get in on that 1 John study. We have had such positive feedback from the 1 John 1, particularly the 1 John 1 verses 8, 9, and 10, and some of the work that we did there. Those were number 6 and 7. Number 8 we moved into 1 John 2, and then last night's would have been 1 John number 9, where we start the work in that propitiation portion. So awesome stuff, jam-packed with interesting theology. Check it out, jump in on that journey if you would. Okay. Today, we were going to make the turn into the seventh day, that day of rest, Genesis 2, but I want to do one more sort of recap podcast of everything that happens in Genesis 1, because it's, and I don't mean go through day by day, I don't want to do that to you, but just a sort of an overall smattering of what we've seen happen. This is a jam-packed chapter, Genesis chapter 1, who contains inside of it 6 days of creation and about 6 million questions left unanswered. But man, does it give us a lot of little trails to run down and things to think about. So you're going to get more specifics on the day six creation as you transition into chapter 2. It's interesting to me that the chapters were split between day 6 and 7, which seems odd because chapter 2 really takes you backwards into 6 to try and show you the creation account. Or at least that's the way it appears that it's doing. We'll get into some of the possible interpretations for that as we go. But an overall smattering of the chapter might help us to land on what's really happening in that first chapter. And that is, when you take a look at the whole of the chapter, you get this repetition of, "And God said, and God said, and God said," which seems to ring in the ears of the Apostle John, because he writes the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And why does he drop in "Word"? And that's, of course, an English word. The Greek word there is logos. So it's more than just spoken word. It's the entire meaning and the ability to express that thought and that meaning. Really, it's a creative ability. But John has Genesis in his head. He has that entire thing going on. Why? Because God said, God said, God said. So as you read Genesis 1 and you see that God said, let this happen, God said, let that happen, God said, let there be this, let there be that, you get this impression that the creative act of God starts with the speech pattern of God. And I don't mean his language, but the fact that God can speak and utter into chaos life. Then, when he creates man and he makes us in his likeness and in his image, what we come away with in that is that if we are like our Creator, we too can look into the chaos of our lives, look into the darkness of our lives, and make a difference, that we have this ability to transform the form and the without form and the void and the darkness that is on the face of our personal deep. To do so, we sort of have to have the courage to look into that depth. We have to have the backbone to realize what is there that needs transformed and changed. We need to marry the idea of truth and what that means with the courage that it takes to confront all of those darknesses and all of those problems. And so I think that to look at that entire chapter through the lens of God said, then really prepares you for whatever it is you have to go confront, that you must look into that darkness and you must take control over that area of your life and you must use that sort of creative ability to make a difference in that area. And that's not in any way to take away from the creative power of God and what the transformative power of the cross is. It's to put you in the correct position and posture for whatever it is that you're going to face. I'm not telling you that you can speak to sin and redeem it. Don't step outside of the blood. Take the story for what it's worth, that there are going to be areas of your life that you face darkness, pain, chaos, struggle, and it's going to take you stepping up and meeting that challenge with courage and then confronting it through the power of your speech, your ability to tell the truth in that situation, your ability to articulate it, and you need to practice that. And no, I'm not talking about public speaking or figuring out how to write better, but to use that power that is yours because you are made in the likeness and in the image of your Father. And if your Father can speak into chaos and make stuff happen, in other words, confront it with true meaning, then you have the same ability. Now, when you get that, you're ready to land at the end of chapter 1 on very good. Because very good would be someone who knows that they have confronted the worst possible thing and came out with the best possible outcome. That's very good. It's very good is not something that someone else can tell you. It's something that you land on after you've confronted what it is that you have wrong, what it is that you need victory over, what it is that you need to be proactive with. That's your very good. And if we could get back to this, then we'd stop measuring ourselves against other people. We would stop judging other people. We would stop assuming that this is the benchmark. That is the standard. He's got it figured out. She's making it the way it needs to be done. And we would realize that it's not as if very good is entirely subjective, but it is certainly personally subjective based upon where you came from. I mean, you might look at my life and go, boy, he's got it together. I might look at your life and say, boy, he's got it together. Neither of us know where the other has come from. And it's too, so these arbitrary or even very specific standards of judgment don't work interpersonally. So I don't know what you've come through. I don't know how deep the depths were and how dark the dark was and how chaotic the void was. But if you've confronted it and you have faced it and you have found meaning in it, that, even if your outcome doesn't look like I think it should, that is very good. Now, go and be your Father's son. See you tomorrow. God bless.